God bless you, dear brethren. We continue today with the study of the book of Revelation. We reached chapter 20. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you. Bless you, Angela and Dora. Here
bless
we are.
Bless you.
Good morning.
Ready to jump on the horse?
Yes.
Ready.
Praise the Lord. We saw Jesus on the horse, chapter before, Revelation
the white
19,
horse.
Conquering and throwing the Antichrist, the first beast, the second beast, into hellfire. Praise God. And now we go to the third beast, the devil himself. Hallelujah. So, we start?
Yes.
Let's go.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more.
Wow.
Till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season.
Wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So,
explain, Brother Joseph, what is the bottomless pit? Why is the devil cast there? And why for 1,000 years? Why not forever?
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Well, for the same reason, why didn't God cast him in hell immediately at the beginning in the Garden of Eden when he started deceiving the people? Hmm. Why didn't he?
He would have deserved it, yeah.
Because like a doctor in a lab, he needs a poison. That's how they make medicine. They use poisons. Poison from serpents. Poisons from all kinds of poisons. So they doctor them and they come up with the antidotes and with vaccines. God is using the devil to, in a sense, to vaccinate all the nations. To teach us to hate evil. All ye, the love of the Lord, hate evil. How can you hate evil if there is no evil around? So we'll be like in heaven, like sitting ducks, waiting for the new Satan to come up and tempt, lure, bait, deceive the angels. So God, to prevent that, is vaccinating everybody. He's put the whole world under sin, that is, under the devil, the god of this world, yes?
It says he should deceive the nations no more. That's why he's put into this bottomless pit as a prison, but God wants him to come out after 1,000 years to deceive again.
We'll see this later on, yes.
But why? What's the purpose?
The purpose is because, for the day, 1 day is like 1,000 years for the Lord, so we had 6,000 years the devil's ruling the world. That's 6 days in a week you shall work. And the seventh day is like the Lord's day. So the millennium is like the seventh millennium. It's like when the Lord's rule. Okay, and the devil is bound for 1,000 years. However, even that is not going to work. Because as we see at the end of the millennium, as we keep reading now, we see that the devil is set free again. He will go around and deceive the world again. And the devil will deceive everybody. They will fall in the ditch again. And then we see as we study this chapter. So neither with the devil free tempting, but with, of course, Jesus and grace is available, neither with the devil in prison, the world will learn righteousness, because it's not just the devil that is cast in hell, also the people that follow him. That shows that even without the devil around, the millennium shows, even without devil, the people will still be unrepented, rebellious. That's why it's not just the devil who goes to hell, but the people too. Because the people are guilty of their own sins, okay?
Yes, yes, yes. And what is the bottomless pit?
Bottomless pit, it's a Greek word, which in Greek is abusos. A in the Greek, it's a negative. A, busos. Busos means the bottom. Okay, and A means a negative, absence. So in other words, in Greek it means a pit without bottom, bottomless pit in English.
Depthless.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So it's a place where there is no bottom. So it's a place where the demons are kept in prison right now. It's a place where they have a king. There is a king in the bottomless pit. But we can go to the scripture. The king is called Apollyon, Abaddon. And it's a place where the demons are kept in prisons. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's where the devil will go in prison. That's where the demons are going to come out from the great tribulation. Let's go to the scripture. Start with Jude 1:6 and Revelation 11:7. This explains what the bottomless pit is.
Jude 1:6 says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains on the darkness unto the judgment of the great day."
Wow. So there's a place where they are kept in everlasting chain. That's Jude 1:7. Now go to Revelation 11:7, and then we go to Revelation 13:11.
That was Jude 1:6.
Yeah, that was, yes.
Revelation 11:7.
Yes, please.
"And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them."
So this is the Antichrist. Where does he come from? Well, he's going to be a politician, of course, but he's going to be possessed by a spirit. Just like Hitler, Stalin, they got possessed by a spirit. Right? They were bad enough. They were really Antichrist as they were. The Antichrist will be a politician. And an Antichrist politician. But he becomes the Antichrist when, like it's written, 1 John 2:18, it's called the Antichrist there. When there is this spirit from the bottomless pit, one of the spirits which are kept in prison, which I suspect is Apollyon, the king of the demons, it will come out of the bottomless pit where the demons are being locked up right now. I will possess this politician, and from an Antichrist with a small A, he will become the Antichrist with a capital A. All right, like the representative of Satan all over the world, like Revelation 13 says, the dragon gives him power. Okay, and great authority. Okay, so in Revelation 11:7, it says the beast is the Antichrist, ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. That's why I suspect that this is Apollyon. Apollyon, which, when did you go to Apollyon? Go to Apollyon. So read the Revelation 13:11, then we go to Apollyon. Which is Revelation 9, Apollyon. Now read the Revelation 13:11.
Revelation 13:11. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon."
Okay, so this, of course, is the false prophet, which I believe is a big religious leader, that when he speaks, the whole world is going to listen. So it's very easy to think that this is this false pope, this false Catholic, this pope we have now, or one after him is going to be this guy, which will become this false prophet, religious false prophet all over the world. The whole world will follow him. But like this pope now, for example, is a great politician, a false pope. Okay, but he comes out of the earth. How can he come out of the earth? Because it's a spirit. Which out of the earth? There's only one place under the earth where the demons are kept. All right, and that's a bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. All right, so he comes out of the earth and he possesses these religious, and from false religious, he becomes the false prophet because he comes out of the earth. Okay, this is the way I see this. Now, let's go to Revelation 9, okay, from 1 to 11. Okay, it talks about the bottomless pit again. Let's go. The fifth angel sounds a trumpet.
Revelation 9:1.
Yes, please, until 11.
"And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace."
Okay, so it says the star falls from heaven, but this star from heaven receives a key. So it's not exactly a star, it's not exactly a meteorite, it's not exactly a comet. So with a comet cannot receive a key. Therefore, it must be a being, some kind of a being that can receive a key, but it's a special key to open hell. To open is like hell, the bottomless pit. And did you read verse 2?
Yes.
Yeah. And out of it came all the smoke. So in other words, like a furnace. So that's a place, like it's a hell of a place. So that's where the demons are kept in prison, right? So it seems to me that this could be easily, by all appearances, Satan, the devil, mm-hmm. The devil itself, that is cast out from heaven, this we see Revelation 12. So there was war in heaven, Revelation 12, 7. And Michael and his angel fights against the devil and his angel, and Michael wins and the devil loses. And the devil is cast down onto the earth. And I believe that this Revelation 12, the devil is cast down onto the earth, is a parallel with Revelation 9, chapter 9, where this star is cast down from heaven. I believe it's the same experience, mm-hmm, the same situation, it's a mm-hmm parallel. So a star falls from heaven onto the earth, and he receives the key to the bottomless pit. In other words, the devil is cast down from heaven with his angels, his demons, and he receives, God gives him the key to set also the other demons, set them free also from, who are prisoners in the bottomless pit. And that's when the tribulation begins, more or less at that period. And that's when people receive the mark of the beast, and they became totally demon-possessed, beyond the point of of return. Okay, that's the way I read it. Okay, keep reading.
Verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads.
Okay, so which are the 144,000? We studied that in Revelation 7. Now jump to verse 11 and we close there.
And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon.
All right, and I believe this is the king of the demons, which is shows here. I believe that this king of the demons is the spirit, which he would be probably is the one that will have the honor to conquer this Antichrist politician that makes the seven-year covenant, and he will become the Antichrist. Understand?
I mean, he will possess him.
Yeah.
But the king of the demons is not the devil?
No, he's the god of the demons.
Oh.
The devil.
The devil falls from heaven at this point, and out of the pit comes this Apollyon.
Okay, but the devil falls from heaven. He doesn't go to prison, understand? He goes around deceiving the world so they receive the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. But this Apollyon is kept in prison in the bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. See, he is the king of the bottomless pit, and he receives the key from Satan. And he becomes Satan's representative when the dragon gives the power to the beast.
Okay.
That's why I believe that the Christ will be possessed by Apollyon. Mm-hmm. Because he received the key, in other words, he received authority from the devil, like we see in Revelation 13, that the dragon gave power to the beast, all right? And he gives his own seat and great authority, says Revelation 13. So I think it all intermingles here. It's all together. So all the scripture, I believe they all...
So basically the devil is the dragon and the beast is Apollyon.
Well, the beast is going to be an Antichrist person, like Adolf Hitler, for example. Okay, only Adolf Hitler received an anointing from the devil to cause World War II. So this guy will receive an anointing from the devil to cause the people to receive the mark of the beast, to conquer the world, and to become the god of the world, sitting on the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Mm-hmm. But actually, at that point, they're really worshiping Satan. They don't even know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it? Yes, thank you.
So, praise the Lord. So, we explained about the place where the devil is going to go. We explain where the bottomless pit. Why is it called bottomless pit? How come a pit with a bottom? Every pit has a bottom. Well, I believe that's the center of the earth. The center of the earth is the only place in the world that doesn't have a bottom. Mm-hmm. All right, and it's a place that we discover that the evolutionists that believe that the center of the planet is a lava. That's where the volcano comes from. And then it cools down, etc., etc. Well, this is an anti-evolution discovery. When they discovered that the center of the Earth actually is like a big globe made by two elements, nickel and iron, and it's more or less the size of the moon in the center of the Earth. Mm-hmm. It's very hot. And that seems to be the place where all the demons are kept prisoners. And in the center of it, the center of it doesn't have a bottom, because the Earth turns around every 24 hours. So what the floor, which is now, okay, in 12 hours is going to be the roof. And another 12 hours is the bottom again.
Yes.
So it revolves, so there is no bottom. That's why it's called the bottomless
pit. But if the center of the earth is solid material, how can they keep the demons there?
Ah, because they are spirits. A spirit can inhabit a stone. Can inhabit a Judas.
So they don't need space, you know?
No, you can inhabit a person, but they cannot get out because of the power of God.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But it's like a big sphere, as big as the moon, nickel and iron. That's the material. And that goes against evolution, because it should have been melted. What cools down is the outside, and inside is still hot lava. This is the opposite. Mm-hmm. Inside is nickel and iron metal, and outside is surrounded by lava. That was a discovery that just the past century they did. And of course, the evolution is they cooked up another theory right away immediately. There is no end to the theories you can come up with.
Yes.
So easy to go from theory to theory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But
yes,
this
yes.
one, it doesn't go too good. Just like in the solar system, that we have two planets. You know, the planets rotate around the sun.
Yes.
Where there are two planets, they rotate the opposite. Mm. And how can that be? Since it was just an explosion in the brain of Charles Darwin. How can that be that? Because God. So,
yes.
Can we carry on here?
Revelations 20.
All right. So we reached verse 4.
Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. This
you ready
is beautiful.
To reign and rule, Angela and Dora?
Well,
are you ready to rule 1,000 years?
Do if, I need to be beheaded for that?
If you're faithful.
Amen.
If you're faithful. Don't forget the if.
Yes.
Who exactly will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years?
The faithfuls.
Only the faithful.
Only the faithful. Revelation 3:21, Revelation 2:26.
It says those who are beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Yeah, because in Great Tribulation, apparently, they will have the French system to kill people, the guillotine. Apparently, France even today is one of the main nations leading around by the nose all the whole Europe to get together with Germany. Germany is a commercial power, and France is the political power. Together, they kind of tell everybody else what to do. So in France, they still have legal the guillotine system, even though they made a pause. They haven't used it for a while. But as soon as the Antichrist shows up, they will go back to that. And that's good news. It's very good news. Because to die by guillotine is the easiest way to die. You feel nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just they let the blade go down before your head touches the falls into the basket. You're in front of Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen.
So only the bride, only the faithful will reign
course.
With Christ.
Yeah, of course. Read it, Revelation 3:21.
Revelation 3:21.
And start with 2:26. 2:6, 3:1.
Revelation 2:26. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
All right, so this is Revelation 20, verse 4, sitting on thrones. And Revelation 3, 21.
And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne.
So it's all
so
about...
the overcomers.
Yeah, the overcomers, the faithful.
Faithful.
So it can be anyone who's faithful. Who exactly? Well, they need to ask God exactly, because nobody knows yet. Matthew 24:13 will help us understand a little bit who's going to be. He that endureth until
the end shall be saved.
Amen.
So it's not that you get saved because you endure, but it means that if you endure, you are saved. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes, amen.
So these are the people sitting on the thrones. The people went through the tribulation. They did not worship the beast, did not receive the mark. All right, praise the Lord. This scripture also is a good scripture on the rapture, right?
Yeah, it shows you are going to the tribulation here.
Yeah, go through the tribulation. But let's keep reading, and we understand about the rapture too. There are many, many ways to understand that the rapture is after the tribulation or before. Mm-hmm. This is one of them. I'll get back on this in a few seconds.
Okay.
So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Because it's the same event. Here is a cross-reference.
Cross-reference to what?
Yes, 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's a cross-reference to Revelation 20, verse 4,
okay.
We just read.
Okay.
Yes, I have it. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad.
You got it? So, even though we will not go to the white throne judgment, which is later up, verse 11, even though we are, when you receive Jesus, you know, in danger of hellfire, yet there is a judgment seat of Christ where there is going to be a distribution. So what?
Everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad.
Yes, there will be a distribution of crowns.
Of crowns.
Among the believers, there will be some going to be the bride of Christ, other going to be Laodicea, be vomited out.
Mm-hmm.
But Laodicea does not go to the lake of fire. They get vomited out because they were ashamed of Jesus. They not preach the gospel. They just spend their life warming up a church bench. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's second category of Christians. Saved, yes. Yeah. God loves them for sure. But he will vomit them out too. What do you say? Revelation 3, verse 16. Amen. So let's make sure we're faithful.
Amen.
And so let's read till 5 and 6.
Revelation 20.
Yes, please.
But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
This is the first resurrection.
Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
All right, so there is a second death, right? You see, the people die two times, right? First they die in the flesh, and the spirit goes in Hades, the place of the dead. And then, you know, like in Luke chapter 16, Jesus talk about that, the rich selfish man who died in the flesh, he was buried, and his spirit was in Hades, and mm-hmm. there he was suffering.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so he died one time, but then he waits in Hades for the judgment, which now we talk in Revelation 20 verse 11. And then after the judgment, the ones who don't get through the judgment, whose name is not written in the book of life, all right, they died for the second time. So the spirit died, the souls died. So people die two times who don't have Christ.
Who don't have Christ.
Who don't have Christ. Yes. Because right, those who have Christ don't die. Their soul doesn't die.
Well, in a way, you still die two times even if you have Christ. Why?
How?
Come on, think.
When you die to self.
Exactly.
But that's when you're in the flesh, still living
exactly.
in the flesh.
Yeah. Paul said, we are dead in Christ. So you still die two times,
yes.
Right?
You're supposed to, yes.
That's what it says, right?
So turning back to the first resurrection, Revelations 20, verse 4 and 5, it's the judgment of the faithful in Christ.
Yes.
Who, they participate to the first resurrection and they will reign with Christ 1,000 years.
Exactly.
And they go to the judgment seat of Christ where the crowns are distributed.
Yes, but this is the judgment seat of Christ. This is it. It's the same event.
And in this judgment, there is no condemnation to hell.
No. Only the separation between Church of Philadelphia, the Bride of Christ, the Virgin with oil, the ones who received the talents and brought fruit unto God, and the other side, the Laodicea, who get vomited out, people receive the talents and bury them under mm-hmm, rebelliousness, mm-hmm. disobedience, didn't preach the gospel, did nothing for Jesus except getting saved or did very little.
But they are all saved.
They're all saved.
That's why it says the second death has no power over them.
Yeah, but read the Daniel 12, 2 and 3, please.
Daniel.
See, in all the believers, all the saved get resurrected, but there is a resurrection of blessing, receiving the crown, All right, and there is a resurrection of shame. Daniel 12:2-3.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Some to everlasting life. Now, life in this case is not just living. In this case, life, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, represent Jesus.
Understand? Everlasting life, it says.
Yeah, but also the other live, but live unto shame, which is almost like not living. Mm-hmm. Because some of these guys are resurrected as lasting shame. Some of those guys are going to wish that they didn't. They just died. They're going to feel so ashamed that they just went to Jesus for salvation, to get a healing, to get financial blessing. They went to some churches who preach grace, 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 grace. God wants you happy. Do whatever you want because He loves you. And then when the resurrection, you're going to have a surprise, like some Muslim would think they go to heaven after terrorizing everybody, thinking, hey, Muhammad is waiting for me with 70 virgin. They'll have a surprise. Instead of Muhammad, they find Jesus. Instead of the virgin, they find God's judgment. So do you understand?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Verse 3. Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Okay, now read it together, 2 and 3.
Daniel 12:2-3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So it's the same resurrection, right? Because Daniel 12 is talking about the great tribulation. Okay, verse 1 is the great tribulation. Daniel 12:1 is the great tribulation. Mm-hmm. The great tribulation. And then at the end there is a rapture, because they shall be raised up. Okay, the resurrection and rapture is kind of the same time. Except resurrection comes just a little before.
How do you know?
Because it says here it says. And it says here, Revelation 24 until 6. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 to 15 to 17.
1 Thessalonians 4.
1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 17. It says, first, there is the resurrection. Second, there is?
The rapture.
Right, so what comes first?
The resurrection.
So mm-hmm. The rapture?
After.
Right after.
Afterwards. So if you write it down so you don't get confused, then you read Revelation 20, verse 4 until 6. It says, first, from 4 to 6. First, verse 4, there is the tribulation. They are beheaded, etc.
Because they are beheaded.
Yeah. Next, verse 6, it says, this is the first resurrection.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what's first, tribulation or resurrection?
Tribulation.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I wrote it down.
Write it down. First, yes. Tribulation.
Yes.
Second,
resurrection.
First Thessalonians 4, 15 says, first is what?
Resurrection.
Second,
rapture.
So now put them in place. You have 4 points here.
Yes.
Okay, so first we discovered?
Is tribulation.
Is the tribulation. Second, we discover?
Resurrection.
And third?
The rapture.
So what comes first, the rapture or the tribulation?
The tribulation.
So the rapture before the tribulation is a lie.
Yes.
Why is the devil so interested to spread this lie? Because he wants to catch the church unprepared. Like they say in America, with their pants down, sitting in the middle of the river.
Hmm.
All right, they want to catch them sitting down in church, warming up a bench, doing nothing. Repeating rosary, repeating prayers, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. All right. And then that was a sad, sad prophecy. What happens when people are sleeping in church, the Antichrist comes, the tribulation comes? They're going to be?
Destroyed.
Taken by surprise.
Fulfilling a very sad prophecy. Which? A few prophecies. One.
It says.
Matthew 24, 15 to 22. Daniel 11, 31 to 35. What is it talk about? That the church is going to be destroyed.
Yes.
Why? Because they didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. They didn't study the scripture. They just bought some American book that maybe they watch a movie Left Behind, and they believe in the movie and not in the Bible. Mm. They know the movie better than the Bible. Oh, it was a nice movie. I enjoyed it. I watched it. Mm-hmm. Okay. they forgot a couple of things, a couple of details. It's not Mark of the Beast. They forgot another detail. They put the ratchet before at the beginning of the movie. Sorry. Mr. Tim LaHaye, he died. He's in heaven now. He really got it wrong. He died, but not before selling 70 million books about this lie. Mr. Tim LaHaye teaching lies. Don't listen to Tim LaHaye. Listen to Jesus Christ, the Bible. Word.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Before you go to the next, you are saying that the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of condemnation. It's just a judgment of rewards, basically.
In other words, you receive or you don't receive.
In John 5:24, it makes a very clear point on that.
Yeah,
Jesus says, "He who believes on me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life."
Yes. However, you don't get condemned, but somebody will steal your crown, like it says in Revelation 3:11.
Yeah, you don't get condemned to hell.
Yeah, he's talking. Yes. He's talking to a church here that got the crown, passed the test. The only church of the seven churches of the Apocalypse, seven churches of the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3. Okay, there's only one church that passed the test. Philadelphia, and said, be careful, Philadelphia. You got the crown? Yes, be careful. Be careful. You can steal from the ditch. You can still deny Christ like Peter. Yeah, okay, I'll forgive you. You're saved. But you lose your crown. The crown is stealable. It's not like salvation that is bought with a price, the blood of Christ that the devil not allowed to touch. The crown, it depends if you are faithful and faithful, adulterous or a faithful spouse. Depends if you're a faithful witness or unfaithful. Depends if you're a virgin with oil, a virgin without oil. Depends if you make your talents to bear fruit or you burn under the sand, some church sand, maybe some religious sand. Matthew 24:13, he that endureth until the end shall be saved. The crown, it does not depend on God. It depends on you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he will give you the grace to conquer it. Is by his grace that we get the strength. By grace we receive the faithfulness from God. Yes, but we have to say yes or no. We have to say, I want to be like Peter, like the 11 apostles, or like Judas. We have to decide. We have to say, do I want to be like King Saul or like David? That's a decision that God will not take for us. The bridegroom will ask us, my beloved church, I want to marry you. Will you marry me?
Yes.
Let me think. How much money is involved?
No.
I get a crown. I get power. I get riches. Well, I guess it's to my convenience. Why not? Just a second, please. There is a Calvary to be overcome for each of us.
Amen.
And I tell you, on a Calvary, on a cross, in a crucifixion, in a martyrdom, that will the fire of God's test will expose who are sincere and who are not. Today, sadly, most of the churches in the world forget Calvary. They can't even overcome a test of, let's go on the street and preach the gospel. Let's go reach the lost. Let's work every day. I said every day. Not just to warm up a bench once a week. The devil doesn't have, the devil never had, God never gave the power to the devil to conquer the world, to spread homosexuality, lesbianism, feminism, masculinism, abortions, socialism, Marxism, communism, and every garbage ism that is around. The devil never received this authority from God. God never gave authority to the devil to go deceive Adam and Eve. God never gave the devil authority over the world that he has. Who gave it to him? Adam and Eve. The world.
We did.
The Christ rejecting people. We, when we sin.
Yes.
That's the only place the devil can get his authority from us, from our sins. Amen?
Amen, yes.
In the name of Jesus. So we jump to verse 7?
Yes.
Let's go. Now, this jump, this leap is a considerable one. It's a leap of 1,000 years. Let's take a look.
Revelation 20:7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison.
Okay, after 1,000 years, God tells the devil, go ahead, devil, go make it double. So God sends the devil around the world after 1,000 years, after there have been 1,000 years of people living under the rule of God. The seventh day, the seventh millennium, God rules. I said, okay.
They can see him, wow, in action, yeah. Loving them, I ruling say, okay. Over them.
Yeah, let's see now the people, what are they going to do, the people? So, it's a law of attraction here. You know what the law of attraction is? So, God sends the devil all over the world as a what? As a magnet. You know? You know when you have a bunch of little nails on the floor and
yes.
Cannot reach them and maybe they mix with the sand. So you do. You can take a magnet or with a magnet you just get them all. So God is going to send the devil out all over the world as a magnet. He is going to magnetize all the murmurers, all the disobedience, all the rebellious, all the ones who belong to him.
Even though he was in prison for 1,000 years.
Yeah, but even after the millennium, after the devil disappear forever on the new earth, as we see in Revelation 22:15, there is going to be people like little devils. All right? Because that's why it says in Matthew 25, verse 30 until the end, not only the devil and his demons go to hell, but also the people follow him. All right, because some people are worse than the devil himself.
So our problem is not the devil.
I think the devil is learning from some of these guys around today. I think he's taking notes.
Yeah, that's
I think
terrible.
They think, oh, could never come up with something so weird.
That's
okay,
terrible.
Let me write it down.
Yeah.
I tell you, some people today, especially the ones who commit abortions or preach abortions, make atomic bombs, and so anyway. 1,000 years expired, the devil is around magnetizing all the weirdos, all the goats, all the demon-possessed, and they all flock together. Bird of one feather, flock together. So they all follow him. Let's see what happens. So after 1,000 years...
Verse 8.
Satan shall be loose from his prison.
Verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea.
So, we have again Gog and Magog here.
Yes.
When did we see the first Gog and Magog?
Ezekiel 38 and
Ezekiel
39.
38. Talking about who?
The Antichrist.
Antichrist. And Gog is Russia. According to the best encyclopedia, Magog is Russia. And Gog means the ruler of Russia. Could you read, please, Revelation 19:20, please?
19:20?
Which we studied yesterday.
And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Wow, so we have here the beast, the Antichrist, cast into the fire.
Yes.
The Antichrist is also known as Gog.
Okay.
So who's this Gog here?
It's true, he's gone by now.
Exactly.
He shouldn't be around after 1,000 years.
Who's this Gog since the Antichrist, which is Gog according to Ezekiel 38, that's Antichrist's name, Gog. Since Gog is in the lake of fire from the chapter before, in other words,
before the millennium.
1,000 years before.
Yes.
Who in the world is this Gog?
Right.
A Magog. Well, we have to study a little bit history here. Just like the seventh world empire that will get together again from the ashes of the six. Six was Rome. They were, you know, the dragon of seven heads?
Yes.
Okay, because the first, it represents the world's empire. First Egypt, the second was Assyria, third Babylon, fourth Middle Persia, fifth was Greece, and sixth was Rome. Okay, but the dragon has seven heads. The seventh is the Antichrist, with the 10 horns, 10 nations, like it shows in Revelation 17, they will get together and give power to the beast. All right. And it says in Revelation 13 that one of the heads of the beast was wounded unto death. Revelation 13, a prophecy about the end time now. But the wounds was healed. He received the wound of the sword. Mm-hmm. Like Christianity wounded the sixth head, Rome, with the sword of the word of God, and they wounded unto death, and that's why Christianity has been around until now. Now is more dead than alive, now, Christianity. And that's why the devil is rising up. So, it says in Revelation 13 that the wounds was healed. How? Because the ten horns on the head number six, Rome, get together and form the head number seven, which is not there yet. We're almost there. So just like the seven head is a resurrection of the head number six, Rome, and the ten horns, so the it's kind of a new world empire, so to speak, but it's just a flash of a world empire very fast. It will be kind of a quote-unquote resurrection of the world empire preceding, which was the number seven.
So this is after number seven?
After number seven. In fact, if you go to Revelation 17, go there real quick, where he talks about they are seven heads, there are seven kings. He explains. Revelation 17.
Verse 10.
Talks about the seven heads of the dragon, which is the devil.
Yes, 10 and 11.
Yeah, so the seven heads are the seven empires that rule the world.
And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come.
Okay, so the seven heads are seven kings. Seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other hasn't come yet. Then, when he comes?
And when he comes, he must continue a short space.
Okay, so five are fallen. In other words, 2,000 years ago, the time of this prophecy, five heads are fallen. That is, count the five heads. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. At the time of Rome, these five world empires are fallen. Okay, one is, which is that?
What, during the writing of the book of Revelation was the Rome Empire
Rome,
in action.
Six head.
Because we studied this in Revelation 17.
Exactly, yeah. I'm just going through it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so that's it. And then it says that the other has not yet come. That's the head number seven, the Antichrist, the end time.
And he must continue a short space.
A short place. In fact, doesn't come yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're living today in the last days of the Roman Empire. So when he comes, he'll continue a short space. Revelation 13:5 tells us how short.
13:5 And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
Okay, 42 months, all right, short space. So in fact doesn't come yet. This is the great tribulation.
Yes.
Okay, so here we have the seven heads of the dragon, correct?
Yes.
So read the next scripture.
Revelation 17.
Yes, please.
Verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition.
Oh, so the dragon has seven heads, seven worlds empire, right?
Yes.
From Egypt until the last seventh empire of the ten horns, which is on the fourth beast of Daniel 7, which is Rome, and it has ten horns. Revelation 17, they get together, give power to the beast.
Yes.
Got it? Oh, okay, good. Who is this eight?
Yes.
Who is it?
And now there is an eight. Well, the dragon has seven heads. Now there is an eight. Read it again, the eight.
Revelation 17:11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eight.
Oh, boy.
And is of the seven. And it goes into perdition.
Do you understand?
It's like a riddle.
Do you understand? It's a riddle. So for many years, I couldn't understand this. But this is a mystery.
So the beast that then, was and is not.
Yeah, exactly. So, but then one day, the Lord opened the riddle and finally understood. So the eighth is the devil himself, which is for the first time goes into perdition. Until then, you chop off one head, Egypt, and here comes Assyria. Chop it off. Here comes Babylon. Chop it off. Middle Persia, understand?
Yes.
But the devil's always there. Those were just manifestation of the seven heads, seven world empire, no little empire. But then, after the seventh empire collapses, when In Revelation 19:11, Armageddon, Jesus comes, he hasn't come yet, we destroy the head number seven with the Antichrist, and also the seventh head, and the Antichrist goes into perdition. The Antichrist, like it says in Daniel 7, the Antichrist goes into perdition.
Into the lake
which
of fire.
Perdition? Revelation 19:20, into the lake of fire, the beast. Mm-hmm. So who in the world is the number eight? Is the devil himself. So when is his kingdom? His kingdom is here.
Where?
Read it again. Revelation 27 until 8.
Revelation 27 and 8.
20 verse 7 and 8.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea.
The whole world follows. He's set free from prison after 1,000 years. He goes around and preaches the same doctrine of Gog and Magog, which is the doctrine of Magog. It's Russia. Magog, there is one doctrine, one ideology that Russia, Magog, has been famous for. And that's the doctrine which has deceived the whole world. Socialism, Leninism, Stalinism, Marxism, communism. Magog means communism. So what will the devil do at the end of the millennium? He's going around preaching again communism. So just like the Empire number 7, Antichrist, will be a resurrection of the Empire number 6, Rome. So the Empire number 8, directed by the devil in person, will be a resurrection, quote-unquote, of the Empire number 7, which was Magog. That's why he says after 1,000 years, here again is back Gog and Magog. So in this riddle, enigma, parable, it's there are all these truths. But to understand this, you need to know the rest of the Bible.
It's
you need to know the rest of the prophecies, because in a couple of scriptures you don't understand
that. And that's why the 8th comes from the 7th.
It comes from the 7th and it goes into
perdition.
Why? Because if you read 9 and 10, you'll figure out.
And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
For the first time, he goes into perdition.
Wow.
To the lake of fire.
In the lake of fire. Until then, he was sending into perdition his little slaves, his little seven empire, including Antichrist, to hell. And he was always, the devil specialized with using others and then destroying them. Like Babylon, he set her up Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, and then he destroys her. That's what the devil does. He uses people as puppets, and then he destroys them. So he goes into perdition because finally, for the first and last, he gets thrown in the lake of fire, and then he will die and be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And in verse 9 it says, the camp of the saints and the beloved city that he campuses about. What is this?
The camp of the saints, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Well, here we are. We have 1,000 years behind us.
Yes.
1,000 years of what? People who live for 1,000 years. For what reason? Why does God allow this 1,000 years? Just to occupy space? No. Because contrarily to some false doctrines, Christian, so-called Christian false doctrines, that they say at the rapture God will take away the grace. You guys, I don't know what you're talking about. God will never take away the grace. For what reason? To save fuel, to save diesel, so it doesn't have to run generator in heaven. No, they will never take the grace away. During the millennium, people can get saved exactly like now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Christ rules and people are getting saved.
What?
Christ rules during the 1,000 years.
Yes,
and
yes.
As this happens, people are getting saved.
Yeah, Christ rules. I don't think it's going to be visible like a man walking around. It will be like now. And we will be like now. We will be angels then. I don't think we're going to walk around like we do now. We're going to be angels. We can appear, of course, if we want. But people, in order for people to get saved during the millennium, it needs to be by faith. And it cannot be exactly Jesus walking around in Nazareth.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, it would be like, it's God, and we would be like angels.
Because
we can appear physically if we want, if we glorifies God, but they'll have to get saved. They still have to get saved by faith.
It says in verse 4 that the faithful will reign with Christ 1,000 years.
Yeah, that doesn't mean...
What are they reigning over?
That doesn't mean visible or invisible.
No, it doesn't
say
that.
Okay, so right now the devil is ruling, but not visibly, but invisibly.
Mm-hmm.
Then God rules everything, but invisibly and not visibly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is just an opinion? Or?
Well, this is a detail, it's not important. This is what I think, is not a dogma. Well, if Jesus is going to be walking around and distributing gospel tracts, I don't know, I don't think so. But it doesn't matter, really. It's a secondary thing if it be visible or invisible.
It's hard to believe that people during the millennium, they see Jesus, they see the angels physically, and they still turn against God and follow the devil when he's released from prison.
Yeah,
it's
for
hard
sure,
to believe.
For sure, the angel, which is going to be us, for sure we will appear sometimes and whenever is necessary, and we will probably work through the leaders of the world. Through, I had vision one time that millennium, I was going to talk to the mayors, I was talking to the rulers to organize a stadium, to organize city hall,
mm-hmm.
so I could preach and others could preach. I had this kind of vision.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I remember having vision going to, sometimes we would go preach the gospel in some schools, witnessing to hundreds and thousands of kids. I had vision that I was going to do that in the millennium, to go to mayors and director of school and say, put them all together, we have a message from the master.
But this we did already in this life.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
But it will be continued.
Thank you, Jesus.
It will be continued because there are going to be people unsaved. They still have to go. The whole world have to send a representative to represent their nations, their people, to Jerusalem, to the camp of the saints,
mm-hmm.
to worship before the king. King is Jesus. Will it be visible or invisible? It doesn't matter. It will be one or the other. Okay, personally, I think it's going to be invisible. It has to be by faith, but it doesn't matter, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's not important. The Bible doesn't specify.
So this camp of the saints from verse 9 is the people that get converted during the millennium.
Yes.
And the beloved city?
Beloved city is Jerusalem. How do we know
physical
that?
Jerusalem?
Physical Jerusalem. We know that by Zechariah 14.
Why is it beloved?
Beloved because that's what the temple is going to be.
Because the same book of Revelation, in another chapter we studied, I don't remember where, calls it Jerusalem, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, that is, it calls it Sodom and Egypt.
Ah, Sodom and Egypt,
that
yes.
That is in Revelation 11.
Right.
Okay, the two dead bodies lying in the...
And it talks about Jerusalem.
Yes. Yeah, but that is because Jerusalem is not converted yet. Because you see, what he's talking about is Revelation 11, 11, 10, 11, 12. It talks about the two prophets killed the body on the street. But then it's not until verse 15 that the Jews get saved and get converted.
In Revelation 11.
In Revelation 11, 15. So Revelation 11, 10, 11, 12, the two bodies are laying down the streets, which is Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified, is Jerusalem,
okay.
Which in spirit is called no holy city, holy land.
Not beloved.
Not beloved. It's called Sodom and Egypt. But as soon as they get converted, a little bit further up, verse 15, at the sound of the seventh trumpet,
mm-hmm.
seven trumpet sounds in Revelation 11, 15, which according to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, it says that at the last trumpet is the rapture, it says. And the last trumpet is number 7. It goes off verse 15. And then after that, it becomes the beloved city because they get converted.
Okay, all right. That makes sense now. Yeah, it didn't make sense. Once they call it Sodom and Egypt, now they call it beloved, but it makes sense.
Because Jesus said in Matthew 23, he said that you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So when will they say that? In Revelation 11, 15, because mm-hmm. they got converted.
Right.
And
yes,
after
yes,
that,
yes.
They became beloved again.
Thank you, Jesus.
It makes sense?
Yes.
Wonderful.
So Revelation 20 from 7 to 10, we see the 8th empire, which is the last empire after the 7th, the Antichrist, is thrown into the lake of fire. The 8th comes from the 7th, Gog and Magog, after the 1,000 years. And they are loosed from the prison. God lets them loose to again go and try to deceive the nations, see who really...
Who's they?
Gog.
It's not they. It's he.
He is set free
from the bottomless pit.
Yes.
And he goes around deceiving them. He deceives them.
Mm-hmm.
Only one gets free.
Yes.
What happened to the demons is not clear, but it's always bad news, those guys.
So he goes deceiving the nations who for 1,000 years were evangelized. Some of them got converted and they transformed into the camp of the saints. But some will still continue.
It grows. It not transform. It's been the camp of the saints for 1,000 years because after the rapture, after Armageddon, immediately it becomes the camp of the saints. And I think that's when the temple of Ezekiel chapter 40, they begin to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. It's a huge temple described in Ezekiel 40. All right, it's a temple where all the representatives of the peoples of the world, they have to go there once a year to offer to God. And that's the camp of the saints. So the devil, he sets free. He goes around, deceives everybody, gathers everybody to surround the city of the saints to try to destroy. But verse 10, fire came down from heaven. Okay, verse 9.
Read it. Revelation 29. And they went up on the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Praise the Lord. Understand? So it's pretty simple, no?
And verse 10, they are cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and that's the perdition. That the 8th Gog goes into perdition like a fire.
Exactly. So this is you go to 2 Peter 3, 7 to 13. I have a scripture here for that. So this is, this fire is the fire which was prophesied is the second flood. The first flood was water, Noah. Second flood will be fire from heaven. Mm-hmm. Prophesied 2 Peter 3, 7 to 13.
7 to 13. 2 Peter 3. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
Okay, so the earth right now is reserved unto fire.
But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
This is symbolic.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So they still go to hell, is their choice. 10.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
And this is what we're talking about here, Revelation 20, fire from heaven, 11.
It means the whole earth will be burned up? Everything?
The surface.
Oh. 11. Seeing
the surface,
then,
the atmosphere, the stratosphere, because it's full of junk, it's full of satellites all broken up that they float. And the earth is contaminated, all the rivers, everything. And that the earth is contaminated, God is going to burn everything. It's going to create everything.
It says the heavens shall pass away.
Yeah. Also the heaven, yeah, because the devil is in heaven now. Not God's heaven, the devil's heaven, but in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that also will burn. Next.
11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons should ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Everything will melt. The planet is going to melt. It's going to go back. It's going to be like the sun. You see, the sun is all a ball of fire. It's going to be like that.
Wow.
Even the center of the earth will melt, because the prison that now, that's where the devils are, is going to melt and disappear.
Wow.
is going to be like a volcano. Okay. And then God is going to blow and cool it down.
So that's the real end of the world.
That's the end of the world, but after we are in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go.
Verse 13.
Nevertheless,
we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
All right.
But there's a problem. In Revelation 20, we read that the devil surrounds the camp of the saints.
Yes.
And then comes the fire and everything is burned up. What happens to the saints?
Oh, come on. But God can send a rapture or whatever he wants.
Another rapture?
It can be a second rapture. I mean, you can take your guess. For sure, God is not short of electricity. He's not short of power to do whatever he needs to do.
Why? It just doesn't mention anything about it.
But doesn't mention because it's understood. It's in between the lines. I mean, God, he said, you shall pass through the rivers that be with you, and the fire will be with you.
Yes,
look, I have
yes,
a scripture
yes.
for you.
Yes,
Daniel 3. The three Daniel's friends were cast in a furnace of fire. Who went to visit them?
Jesus.
And they came out, not even with the smell of the burnt.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Is that a good scripture after you?
Very good.
Come on, let's carry on. Here.
Amazing.
So, I want to just specify when it says the heavens were burnt here in 2 Peter. The heavens, it also means air, sky. Just like you said, it's not the Lord's heaven where he is, the paradise of God, the kingdom of God. It's the air, the sky, the atmosphere around the earth. Which is, like you said, where also the demons are. And
you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about being raptured and translated into the third heaven.
That's good.
So there are
That's
no good. Seven heaven like Mr. Muhammad said. No. What is it written, seven heaven? In the Quran. But the Quran is it's an imitation of the Bible. They just, Muhammad copied what he liked. He left away what he didn't like. So it's just like an apocryphal thing, you know. In reality, there are no seven heavens. There are, why seven? Why so many heavens? Why do we need all these dimensions? The dimensions are really three. There is the earthly one, our dimension where we live, all right? That's the first heaven. In other words, the clouds that you see, first heaven. And then there is a second heaven, all about the planet that is like all surrounded by garbage. That's the devil's heaven, full of spiritual garbage.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's why when people die, I've experienced like through the death, life after death, they come back again to earth, etc. They say they go see Jesus, but first they go through what?
A tunnel.
Why a tunnel?
Because of the devil's heaven.
To protect them from the devil's heaven.
Yes.
To reach to the third heaven.
Yeah.
Which is God's heaven.
Yeah. It's like a protection to reach the third heaven.
Where
God is. Without the demons bothering them.
And where Paul went to visit.
Paul said the third heaven. So we have this little rinky-dinky planet here. There is no life in other planets. No. God, Adam was the first experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Until God will fix the first experiment, you're not going to go to the second. So the devil and his demons are spirits. They are around the planet, invisible. But that's why you see these flying souls, aliens. They're just demons. They're just plain demons who are just pretend to be from another galaxy. No, they're not from another galaxy. They're just from another hell. That's where they come from. Well, why they can do nothing, these guys? They keep saying, we're coming, blah, blah. Can do nothing. Why? Because God hasn't snapped his finger yet. Either letteth, we let until he's taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit will hold them at bay until he's taken out of the way. Say, okay, Antichrist, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to the Antichrist what's the Antichrist. What's the Antichrist? The hell, distractions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go bring your hell for 42 months, and that's the whole heaven you're going to have.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Okay, so we proceed?
Yes, Revelation 20.
So, did you understood? Everything is clear. So, 7, the devil is set free, deceives the nation, verse 8, 9, I'm just making an inventory.
Okay.
Verse 9, he compasses the camp of the saints. We know that's in Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, it becomes again holy. because we know that by Zechariah chapter 14, it says that of all the nations that survive the destruction of God, they shall come from year to year to worship in Jerusalem. So that was verse 9. Okay. Fire came down from heaven. We saw 2 Peter 3, 7 to 13. And then verse 10, and the devil is cast lake of fire to go join the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. Now, many in the world, especially satanic groups, satanic writers, they say that God is a monster because he enjoys his enemies scream and yell for eternity in hell, and God is there drinking a cup of tea, enjoying people screaming and yell. Put your hands on the fire 5 minutes if you make it. Imagine for eternity. And that's the kind of God Christians have. So that's a lie from the pit. Okay, and it's sad that many churches that preach this, but it's like which was bothering me too. I was bothered by people suffering in hell. Why wasting all the fuel for eternity? Just anyway, one day the Lord just showed me very clearly that nobody lives in hell. So I did a Bible research. I went up and down, checked every day the Bible dictionary, and there is only carcasses that survive in hell. There are no souls living in hell. And this is, I found a lot of scripture that support this. Okay, for example, Matthew 10:28, it says, fear not then that kill the body, but fear him who can kill body and
soul.
So the soul is killed in hell. It doesn't live. All right?
And there's a second death you just explained.
Yeah, also in Revelation 20:11-15, it talks about the second death. So, you know, not found in the Book of Life, which we're going to study now, there is a second death. All right. Also, in the good scripture is in Isaiah 66:24, which says, it talks about new heaven, new earth, and it talks about those, you can read Isaiah 66:24, because
okay.
I want to talk about this, that we're going to hell here.
Isaiah 66:24.
This scripture, which Jesus quoted in Mark 9, he said, it's better to cut off a hand or pluck out an eye, go to heaven without an eye, without a hand, than to go to hell where the fire is not quenched, where the worm does not die. He doesn't talk about souls. All right? So where does Jesus get this prophecy? He gets it from Isaiah 66:24, which says,
and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, but they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
So they shall look at the carcasses. In other words, the dead bodies. In fact, this chapter, if you read, is talking about new heaven and new earth.
The Amplified says dead bodies.
Okay. New heaven and new earth. 25 says what?
The Amplified in Isaiah 66:24 says they shall gaze upon the dead bodies of the rebellious man who have stepped over against me.
Okay, it's not talking about the body of flesh, because those already buried, some of them already become dust, powder, okay? It's not talking about that. It's talking about the spiritual body, because inside our body of flesh, there is a spiritual body. The real us. Okay, these are the, all right, these are the spiritual body that lives in Hades or in heaven. All right. But this spiritual body from Hades has become a dead carcass, which will burn forever. It doesn't consume, no. It doesn't consume, just like the bush that Moses saw, the bush burning but not consuming.
God can do anything.
So why would God leave these things forever, burning forever, as a warning? This is what happens to those who rebel, like Lucifer, to those who rebel, like the Antichrist, like the people who follow abortions, who follow evil, who creates love sins. It leaves it there as a remembrance. In China, the authority, they were kind of, they wanted to cut down on the motor accident, automobile crash, and people were getting killed in the roads. So they came up with this idea. Every time somebody died on the street, had a car crash, they would build a pedestal, the Chinese, and they would put the vehicle destroyed, crashed, on top of the pedestal. To as a warning to the drivers, be careful, that's what's going to happen to you if you don't drive.
As a lesson.
As a lesson. So, and this is exactly what God is going to do. Of course, much better.
In fact, it says here, it shall be an abhorring unto all the flesh. It
shall be an abhorring.
And in the Hebrew, it says, as a repulse of aversion. In other words, warning.
Exactly. In other words, God is trying to shock them. Be careful. Don't follow the example of the devil. Because in heaven, some angel rebelled. Lucifer rebelled. The angel became demons. So God is giving a warning to the future Adam and Eve. Be careful, Adam and Eve. Don't play with God, because when God says, he will do it.
But this place of fire, the lake of fire, will last forever and ever.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it says in the Bible, forever and ever and ever. And people wonder why.
Yeah. In fact, it says in Revelation we studied, 14, Revelation 14, from 9 until 14. It says that they shall be tormented forever. Yeah, but here is the thing. The dead body, the carcasses, like Isaiah 66:24 says very clear, the dead body shall be tormented
forever.
But
how can you torment a dead body?
Well, it's an expression. Okay, in a parable, Jesus can say, Herod is a fox. Jesus says, I am the door. Is he a door?
Like,
is he a door made of wood?
No,
or plastic?
No, he's not. It's a symbolic way.
So it is tormented, okay, but it doesn't say the living soul.
No, it says the carcasses.
Okay.
But like carcasses. You said, the burning bush was burning without being consumed. God can do anything.
Exactly. Yeah, but you say, well, how can you torment somebody who's dead? No, you don't torment him because he's dead. Because he's dead, but you can't torment his body. You know, just like you take a hammer with a stone and you break the stone, you could say, oh, I'm tormenting this stone. Yes, in a sense, you can use that terminology.
Also in Daniel 7:11, there's a scripture which says about the end time, that the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame.
Exactly.
The body was thrown into the burning flame, not the soul.
But the beast was killed.
The beast was slain and his body given to the flame.
Okay. Killed in the flesh and killed in the spirit. And that's it. Amen. No, you think eternity is kind of a little bit long of a space, eternity, okay? Don't you think you get bored, hear somebody yelling and screaming after a while?
Yes, it's terrible.
I mean, God said the God who loves his enemies, including me and you, we were enemies of God. I mean, you don't think he will have mercy on these enemies and let them die? Of course
yes,
he will.
Yes.
But nevertheless, he will keep the dead bodies as a warning for the future devils, for the future Lucifer, the future Adam and Eve, for their own good.
Yes.
So they slow down when they're driving the Chinese roads. Got it?
Not only Chinese.
And not only Chinese.
Yes.
Shall we jump to 11?
Revelations 20:11.
Until 15.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
In other words, it's a different dimension. You know, you enter in a different world. Okay.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
See, the book of life here, mind you, it doesn't say the book of life of the Lamb. That's a different book. A book you cannot be raised. This is the book of life, only life, which we find written in Deuteronomy 32, that God says, I will erase them from a book. Exodus 32, I think.
Yeah, they say, God, don't erase me from your book. No?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then also we find the Revelation 3:5. Can you find me the scripture where God says, please?
Yes.
He says, I will erase from my book the sins against me. And Revelation 3:5, it says, he that overcomes, I will not erase from my book of life. Mm-hmm. In other words, book of life, yeah, it's a great book compared to hell, for sure. But compared to the book of Lamb, it's a different story. Mm-hmm. All right? So
here at the White Throne Judgment, the book of life is opened.
It's open, yes. Yes, keep reading.
And the dead were judged according to those written in the books, according to their works.
Yeah, judge out of those things written in the books, according to the works. So don't... Nobody should preach that is like works are good for nothing. Yeah, salvation of Jesus, the salvation of Christ, the book of Lamb is without works because we are saved by the works of the cross. But if somebody is a fake Christian, false Christian, or a nominal Christian, then he's not in the book of the Lamb.
He's not saved by grace.
He's not saved by grace. He will still have to go and appear at the White Throne Judgment to be judged by works, because mm-hmm. he never received Jesus, he never received the salvation by grace.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so he will be judged by works, but these works are only in case he's not in the book of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Then the book of the Lamb, the works are not necessary, like it says Ephesians 2:9, Titus 3:5. All right. The works in Christ then are only for the crowns. You need the oil in the lamp, because you are worthy of the crown. But for the crown, you need the works in Christ. For salvation, you don't need it. But if people didn't receive the true salvation of Jesus, then they will still have to go to the White Throne Judgment and be judged according to the works, to see if they go to the lake of fire,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to see or if they go onto the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
But let's finish until 15.
Yes. Revelation 20:13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
Again, the works.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, so the absolutely enemies of God, in other words, the tares, the people that really, they just, okay, there you go. But the ones that are whatever, God doesn't measure his stake, okay? Mm-hmm. There is hope, he will not.
You're saying there is hope for people who didn't receive Christ as their savior, they don't go to heaven, they're not saved by grace. There is hope for them to still avoid hell, because maybe there are people who had good works without Jesus.
Exactly.
There is hope for them not to go to hell.
Exactly. One thing is, there are different degrees of sin.
So then, Brother Joseph, in the scriptures, Revelation 20:14 and 15, can you clarify real well what is the first death and second death?
Okay, so look, can we get to the scripture?
Yes.
Look, John 5:24 and 28.
John 5:24 and 28.
That's the shortest way to answer. Just read the scripture.
John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Book of the Lamb. Salvation by grace. This is John 5:24. Got it?
Yes.
Okay, now we go to the White Throne Judgment. There is another judgment here. All right. John 5:28 and 29.
John 5:28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Okay, so what's the first and second death? So the first death is the death of the flesh, I said before.
Yes.
The second death, I mean, once these people don't have Jesus, right?
No.
Okay. So these people, after the flesh is dead, what's left?
Only the soul.
Okay, that's the second death. That's why I don't believe in hell leaves anybody, because that's the second death.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 10:28. Fear him who can kill body and soul in hell. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, second death.
That's correct. That's
good. Understand?
Correct.
So Matthew 5:24, people in the book of the Lamb, salvation by grace. You're not talking about crowns here, just salvation by grace.
They don't come into condemnation.
No condemnation, no hell. Mm-hmm. Okay. Unless you want to classify condemnation because they lose the crown, but it's not exactly a condemnation. It's just you don't receive a reward. You live in the outskirts of heaven, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then John 5:28-29 is the white throne judgment. Don't marvel not that. Read it again. 28.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
That is all. It doesn't say book of the Lamb, book of life, unsaved, saved by works, not saved by works, directed, lake of fire. It's all. So we understand that the book of the Lamb people already were resurrected before the millennium. So we understand that by other scripture.
Yes.
So who is he talking about here? Since the other guys are verse 24, salvation by grace. He's talking about verse 28 and 29. He's talking about the ones who are not in the book of the Lamb. So marvel not, all will come out of the graves. Verse 29. And
shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Okay, here there is a differentiation. Can you give me a scripture, please? Hebrews 4:12. So God will separate the spirits. Okay, here is somebody who is not born again, who is not a tear, destined to the lake of fire, but neither book of the Lamb. Here is somebody that will be judged. Is not evil only. Son of the devil, John 8:44. No, neither is the book of the Lamb. What's left? The book of life. Because the direction are three. Book of the Lamb, book of life, hellfire. Got it?
Yes.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Boy, boy, boy.
Wow, it's deep.
The word of God is like a sword that divides the intents of the soul, of the heart, and the thoughts of your mind.
Yes, hello? Yes, yes.
This is...
Yes.
There is no hiding here.
Hmm.
God looks to you, it's like X-ray. You are consider yourself X-rayed when God looks to you.
Scanned.
You cannot hide. Oh, well, you know. No, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. No. God is going to click a recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the recorder is going to, there's going to be a screen appearing. And that's going to be you doing everything you did, good and evil. God is going to say, who's that guy? I think it's me. Yes, I think it's you. What kind of video projector do they have in heaven? What's the brand?
Heavenly.
In heaven, they have a video projector.
I don't know.
You know, here they have Sony, Panasonic, yes. Panadis and Panadat, and Google, and glue, and whatever they have here. And in heaven, they have a video projector, a special video projector.
It's your conscience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You record everything.
You click your conscience and bang, it appears. You cannot say, no, that's not me. That's you. But that's you.
That is you. Yeah.
You and the thing that you know that it's you. You cannot say, no, that looks like me, but actually it's a guy with a wig. No.
No.
You know that it's you, and the angels know, and the devils knows, and God knows, everybody knows. And that's why the parable Jesus was saying that the people in heaven, when God speaks to them, they're going to be speechless. Speechless. Like say, hey friend, how did you get in here without a wedding suit on? And the guy was?
Speechless.
Speechless. And then what did he say? Please, Master of Ceremonies, here comes Archangel Michael or Gabriel. Okay, Master of Ceremony, can you accompany this gentleman, please? Pay the taxi. And is that what he said?
No.
No.
Bind him, hands and foot. Cast him out in the darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, for a suit? Let me tell you, Revelation 19, 7 to 9. The white linen is what? Is the one you buy in La Boutique de Paris?
No.
La Bottega di Milano?
No.
No, it's a righteousness
of the saints.
When it says the guy didn't have a wedding suit, it's saying the guy was a damn lazy. All right? He could, but he didn't want to. When he could, he would not. When he would, he could not. You know the virgins? You see those virgins running? Let's go! Quick! Who is it? Virgins! Open the shop. But let me sleep. Go to another shop. Hello, open. What do you want? We need to get some oil. I'm sleeping. Go to another shop. Okay, I'll open. Here is the oil. Quick, back. The bridegroom could come anytime. Quick, back. The door was
closed.
Closed. So what did they do?
They knocked.
Master, it's us, olive oil, extra virgin, from Italy. And a voice answered, I don't know who you are, and depart from me. Understand? Yes, it's a parable, yes. It represents, either will not. When he may, when he will, we love nay. So, beloved, let's wake up.
Yes,
amen. Do what we can. Do what we can when we can.
While we can, amen.
If the time comes, we would like to do, but we cannot.
Amen.
Okay, read Matthew 24. The time comes, if we don't get ready, serving the Lord, preparing, go to the right place. The women flees in the wilderness. Revelation 12:14. The time comes that the people, the Christian one already, because they were too busy fulfilling their duty to warm up a bench, they won't have time to even go back and pick up their shirt, their jacket, their snow shoes, their summer hat, their passport, their money they have under the pillow. Not even their wives and children. They cannot go back. Have you seen those movies that the Antichrist knock on the door and the guy jump off the window on the other side?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And while they run through the fields, the guy shoot him behind?
Yes.
It's going to be like that. And as they shoot you behind and you run through the fields, can you go back and pick up your wife?
No, you don't make it.
Well, even if you want. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can go back. Sure, you can die with her. That's about it. Jesus said, Brother Joseph, what an exaggeration. Are you scaring people? Are you scaring the churches? No, I'm not. Jesus is. He says you won't have time to go back and pick up your cloak, your passport, your the little money under the mattress, the passport to cross the border, you cannot, or whatever it is, a sleeping bag. Amen. But so, yes. By God's grace, the Lord told us to prepare, and we have some fuel in the garage. We have always extra fuel to drive for a few months here. We have we've been buying by the sacks, rice, chickpeas, lentils. We have water here.
Yes.
We have more than 100 liters each person in our little community. And we told all the brethren all over the world to do the same. But before doing that, they have to do what, Angela?
They have to find the right place where they are supposed to.
Revelation 12, 14.
Yes.
The woman fled into the wilderness. And with this, I think I closed. I'm closing Amen. Now in Amen. The name of Jesus Christ. Have you said a prayer?
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Any Amen. More questions, dear sisters?
No, Revelation 20 was clear, abundant, and well explained. God bless you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for your help. Next, we will go to Revelation 21 and 22, which is really one chapter divided in two. Mm-hmm. We hope to do it in one session. So don't miss it, brethren.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Do you want to, if you would like to feed your souls with some scripture, not by my jokes or Brother Joseph jokes, who cares, but by the scripture where we give you, and better scripture that the Holy Spirit will give you, write in. And Angel will answer, right, Angel?
Yes, Laura? Yes, you can write in.
Yes.
And on our website, radioblast.net, we also have lots of subjects and topics that we categorized for you to choose the classes you're interested in to study concerning the end time or evangelization or healing. So go to our radio site and choose the subject you like, or you can write in and we will show you how to get
Amen.
There.
Amen. We have many languages.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
the main one in Italian we have, because you, Joseph, are Italian. So
yes,
we have lots of teachings in Italian and a Bible course,
yes,
as well. But then we have also English and Spanish. So write in, I will give you all the details.
Romanian, French, Hungarian, we have all kinds of stuff. And if you, anybody is interested in translating,
mm-hmm,
who has a nice, beautiful voice, like Angel and Dora have, write in.
Maybe better.
in Jesus' name. So, can I just bless the brethren?
Yes, yes.
Be blessed, brethren. The blessing of God upon you. May God shower and send his manna from heaven.
Amen.
Rebuke the devil and bind the devil and with heavenly chains. And if you have any sicknesses, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Believe and be healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, physical blessing, financial blessing upon you. We rebuke any financial curses, only financial blessing, only spiritual blessing upon
Jesus
you.
Name.
Anybody
Jesus
you maybe name. Has, you have their own religion, some religion that told you you can lose salvation, you cannot. If you are in doubt of your salvation, pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus
pray with
name.
Me. It's like it says in John 10, 27, 28, Romans 10, 9 until 13, 1 John 5, 11 to 13, what does it talk about? It says about salvation you cannot lose. Romans 8, 35 to 39, salvation you cannot lose. Anybody who lost salvation, quotes and quotes, is because they never had it. So let me pray with me, if you like, a couple of words, but from your heart.
Thank you.
To receive salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But you have to believe. But you have to be full heart. But you must understand that you don't deserve, you're a sinner. You have to ask God to forgive your sins. All. In the name of Jesus Christ, pray with me. I receive you, Jesus, in my heart. I receive your salvation.
Amen.
Forgive my sins. Help me to serve you with my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole spirit. I want to be your servant, Lord, your follower. Lord, thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross to pay for my sins, to pay for me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I receive you now, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for saving me from hell, from the devil, from eternal fire, for my carcass burning for eternally. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
For saving me. Thank you, Lord, that you love all. There is no Protestant, there is no evangelical, there is no Catholic in front of you. You love all. All who come unto you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you, Lord. Amen. Write if you like, we will answer you for sure.
Amen.
We
yes.
love you, we bless you, and we will continue this study. Connect to us. Don't miss the next recording, which by God's grace we'll be recording it very soon, Revelation 21 and 22. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, and the leaves of the tree of life. What are they for? The leaves of the tree of life. Oh, we believe in new Jerusalem coming down from heaven.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Join up.
Amen.
You'll
Amen.
Find out.
We wait for you.
God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brethren.